We're doing our class on the Jewish home. We got 10 minutes. In this week's parsha, Yitzchak and Rivka can't have kids. And they daven to have kids. And their prayer is described differently than the prayer of Abraham and Sarah and the prayer of Rachel and Yaakov Avinu. And from this story, we learn a tremendous amount from these three stories. Sarah tells Avraham, Hineina atzarani Hashem miledet. Hashem has prevented me. I can't have kids. Please take my maid Hagar, and she will give birth with Teled al Birkai. She will give birth, and it'll be as though I gave birth, and then at least we'll have a future. So Avraham listens to Sarah. The pasuk specifically says, "Vayishma Avraham bekol Sarai." Avraham listened to Sarah. Pause. Let's leave Avraham Avinu. Joe Schmo has a maid in the house, and his wife says, "Why don't you marry the maid?" Does Joe Schmo marry the maid because she has nice looks, because it gives him variety in his marriage? Avraham Avinu, the pasuk points out, Vaishma Avraham bekol Sarai. He didn't go to marry her for any reason other than the fact that his wife just told him to do it. And even when Sarai tells him in last week's parsha to send off Hagar and Yishmael, it doesn't say he had an issue with sending away Hagar. It says, Vayera beinei Avraham alodot beno. It was hard. It was bad in the eyes of Avraham because Yishmael is his son. That's what was hard in his eyes. Hagar, he was listening to Sarah when he married her. So he listens to Sarah when she says to send her away. That's not the issue. Fast forward two generations. We go down to Yaakov Avinu. Rachel Imenu comes to him. So Rachel comes to Yaakov and says, Havali banim v'imayin meita anochi. Give me children, and if not, I'm dead. So imagine you're the husband. You just came home from a hard day's of work. And you say, hi, honey, how's your day? And she comes storming at you. You give me children, and if not, I'm dead. What are you going to answer? Am I God? Right? So what does Yaakov Avinu tell her? Atachat Elokim Anochi? Am I instead of God? There's a continuation to the pasuk. Asher mana mimech perivaten. Hashem has held you back from having kids. What a line. Yaakov Avinu says, I have kids. I have kids from Leah. You don't have kids. What are you blaming me? So if we read this on our level, it sounds like, oh wow, boy did he give it to her. Chazal say they spoke on their level, not our level. Yaakov Avinu was saying to Rachel, he said, look, there's an issue here, but in heaven they have an issue with you. We have to think about what tshuva you have to do. Because you see that in heaven they allowed me to have kids. That means that in heaven they don't have an issue with what I'm doing. They have an issue with what you're doing. We have to figure out how to rectify your situation in heaven. So Rachel says, excuse me, what did your father do when he couldn't have kids? Didn't he go praying? So Yaakov Avinu says he did. And your grandfather Avram, when he couldn't have kids, what did he do? Didn't he pray? So Yaakov Avinu says he also did. But you know what? When my grandmother Sarah saw she couldn't have kids and nothing was working, so she said to Avram, take on a second wife. And maybe through that, Hashem will see I have mercy in this way. He'll give mercy to me in that way and he'll let me have kids. And you see, it worked. So if nothing else is working, maybe that's the route we should take. And Rachel tells him, okay, take the maid. If that's what's going to drive the things in heaven to be in my favor, take the maid and then maybe I'll have kids. There's a medrash there. The medrash says that in heaven they were very upset with Yaakov Avinu. In heaven they said, is that the way to answer a woman when she's upset? She is devastated for not having kids. What'd you answer her that way for? And then the Medrash says, why'd you listen to her? She told you take the maid. Why'd you listen? And then the Medrash says, you're as bad as your grandfather, explains the Yafei Torah on that Medrash, that when Sarah Imenu said to Avraham Avinu, take the maid, she didn't mean it either. Sarah didn't mean take Hagar. She said it. She didn't mean it. Step back, guys. Now let's analyze what the Midrashim are teaching us. Step by step. Step one. Step one. Wait. Let's go in order. You guys are jumping to the end. Let's start with the beginning.
Put all your trust in Hashem.
Step one, the Midrash is saying Rachel was upset. Sarah was upset. What's our job when our wives are upset? So our first job is don't take it personally. Okay? Step one. If your wife, you walk through the front door and your wife says, the fridge is broken, and she says it accusingly to you, and your wife says, our bank account is minus 10,000 shekel, and you're thinking, I told you not to buy that mink coat, right? But she, you walk through the front door and she's sharing with you frustrations, and when she shares it with you, it's blaming. And so your first thought is to become defensive. Excuse me, I didn't do that. I didn't make you. You walk through the front door and your wife says, my ingrown toenail is driving me crazy and you don't care. I don't care. I took you to the best doctors. I got you the best creams. I took you to the naturopath. I did everything under the sun. What does the husband do? He becomes all defensive. What do you mean I don't care? I did everything. She didn't say you don't care. Stop being so simply male. Us males, if she says you don't care, what do we hear? You don't care. Right? Stop. That's not what she said. That's not what just happened here. The Medrash rebukes Yaakov Avinu and Avraham Avinu for taking what their wives said literally. The Medrash takes the giants of Jewish history and says, you don't know how to listen to your wife. That wasn't the correct answer. That wasn't the correct way of doing what she wanted. So if I would say any of this, you guys should all just walk out of class. I have no right to rebuke Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. I don't reach their toenail. Who am I going to talk about? But the Medrash says it. So if Chazal say it, then we listen. Chazal are telling us there's something to learn from this story. So step one is, even though our nature is to get all defensive, they didn't talk against you. And this is so hard. This is so hard. When a person hears the claim and the argument against him, we see if this was an area that Yaakov Avinu fell in, that means it's an area that's hard for every man. That when a woman yells at him, what he hears is the woman yelling at him. And it's so hard for a person to stop and tell himself, I can't take it this way. She's not yelling at me. I have to remember that's not the issue at hand right now. She is hurting, and this is her way of expressing her pain. And that's what the Medrash zones in and says, is this the way to answer a woman who's suffering because she's barren? Excuse me, that's not the issue at hand. She could be barren, but what's she yelling at me for? That's not a claim. Now you have to be a man, right? We all know how to be men in all kinds of areas that are not so relevant. Like when it's the neighbor that says they want to send their kid over, and we say, no, we know how to be a man, right? Where should we be a man? The Medrash says be a man and take control of yourself and realize that as tough as it is, and even though she said something that by male perception is very offensive and hurtful, that's not the way we would talk to one. We would never talk to her this way. Even if we had something, an issue with her, we wouldn't behave this way. Pause. That's not what just happened here. Kach onin eta akarot. The Medrash changes focus. It's irrelevant what she said, how she said. You have to hear one thing. She's in pain, she's suffering, she's bothered. That's what you have to notice. Ah, she expressed it in a way that the man is hurtful, right? But how do you listen to her? So the Medrash says the way to listen is, firstly, don't take it personally. Secondly, recognize she's in pain. She's expressing it this way, don't take it personally. Now you all jumped to the conclusion. Don't listen to what she's saying. Wait, slowly. We're not yet there. Firstly, we have to know how to deal with the hardship. I want to wait and ignore the two extremities, Avram and Rachel, Avram and Yaakov. What did I start with? Vayetar Yitzchak lenochach ishto. We began our discussion today with Yitzchak. Why did I mention Yitzchak? Our conversation so far has been focused on Avram and Yaakov. Because Yitzchak teaches us something. And this is a lesson the Midrash also tells us. We don't find any of the patriarchs with the word ahava, love, as much as Yitzchak. We always think of Yitzchak as the scary man who's God-fearing to a level that it's just scary when you think about it. And he sounds like a very, very, very holy, distant man. What's Akedat Yitzchak? The unification. Yitzchak fuses with himself in the moments that he's so dedicated. Yitzchak teaches us dedication like no one else does. Dedication to Hashem, dedication to his wife, dedication to his children to include Esav. But Yitzchak's prayer is different than anyone else's prayer. You don't see Avram praying about Sarah the way you see Yitzchak praying about Rebekah. Yitzchak has a guarantee. Be Yitzchak yikare lechazara. He has a guarantee from God. He's going to have kids. That's already been said to Avram. It's a done deal. He has nothing to worry about. And yet the Pasuk stresses that Yitzchak stands and he's focusing his prayer and he's saying, Rebono Shalom, I don't want to marry any maids. I want all my kids to be from her. Her problem is my problem. And this is where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next week. The themes we learned from Yitzchak before we move on to analyze what we learned from the rest of the story of Avraham and Yaakov.